Welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Roberts. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
Good. Busy, good. Good, busy. Whatever that is supposed to mean. It can be good to be busy, but not too busy. But usually now my Sundays to Wednesdays are like that because of a particular show. So... but here we are with Gaming Talk, a little something different, and yeah, that's what we're going to be doing in this one. Speaking of video games, what have you been playing?
Well, I haven't had a whole lot of time for games. Mostly, though, I have been playing Expedition 33. I am going really, really slow with it just because I want to savor the music and savor the art and savor the story. And it's one of those games that I just got into Chapter 2. I don't know how many chapters there are, but I went from chapter 1 to chapter 2, and the transition was quite the kick in the dick as a storyline.
Oh.
You know, you get through it, and it's just like, emotion!
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to soldier on, as they say.
I see.
But I definitely want to see where the story goes. And probably my favorite part... is that you find journals from all the expeditions that came before you. And that's one of the... there's like three collectibles in the game, two or three. One of them is the journals. And I think my favorite one is Expedition 50 because they decided to do it as an extreme speed run and they did it naked, which is hilarious as a story plot line.
All right.
It's like, yeah, we're going to go kill this mystical, mythical being that kills everybody of a certain age once a year. Let's do it naked. That sounds fun.
Why not, I guess. Why not? Cool. Good to hear you. I mean, you sound like you're enjoying it, and so does everybody else who's playing it. So, for anybody else interested in it, Access, and of course I always mean PlayStation Access, has done a bunch of content for it. They did a podcast with some of the stars of the game, including Ben Starr. They streamed, you know, traditional sort of 90 minutes for a new game, where Rob was playing it, not Rob here, Rob Pearson, on Access. And looks pretty good. Looks pretty good. So, anything else you played?
I went a little bit back to Farthest Frontier, mostly because I've been on my PC a lot for other things. And that's an easy game to have on a side monitor because you don't really have to micromanage it a whole lot.
I see. Cool. For me, my journey with Naughty Dog games until obviously they make another one or whatever has finished for the moment. My podcast project is finished. It's actually the whole thing is done. You can go listen to it now. I mean, you could pause this, listen to that, come back, or finish this, then go to that, or whatever, whatever you choose to do. Yeah, finished with Uncharted Lost Legacy. Really do love that game. I really, really do love that game. I won't say a ton here because I did an hour's worth of talk on... It wasn't just, hey, let's start the podcast. Here's number 15 all the way through to number 1. There were several sort of development lines for me to talk about. Some writing stuff that I noticed, which was part of doing the whole thing anyway. So I talked all about Crash Bandicoot and, of course... Jack and Daxter and Uncharted and Last of Us, and talked a little bit about Intergalactic and kind of what I tried to do with that there is look at, again, the through line of development, and then the fact of, okay, you do some Uncharted games, then Last of Us, then back to Uncharted, then Last of Us, now to Intergalactic. What will that sort of, what will that look like as a continued through line of development and all that kind of stuff? So really enjoyed doing that. So yeah, the podcast, I'll mention in the housekeeping section, but that podcast is out. It's entirely spoiler free as well. I didn't really need to talk about spoilery stuff for each game, so really enjoyed doing that. And that is the book closed on that, the Naughty Dog book put back on the shelf. And of course I picked up my continued run of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Kind of had that thing, you know, where you go back to a game after Like a couple of months or something, and I remembered kind of how to play it. I kind of remembered the controls, and then I went back in and kind of, you know, that first sort of 20, 30 minutes, especially for a game like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and it's like trying to remember exactly what to do. I remembered where the story was, which was interesting. I remembered the sort of, because I just pressed continue and it just plopped me somewhere, but I remembered like what was going on. It was just okay, going from a Naughty Dog game to a Square Enix game, you know, things are gonna be a bit different. So I've gone through, I'm actually on chapter 10. I don't know how far through I'm on chapter 10, but I thought I was on chapter 9, so a bit further through the game. From what I believe, there's 13 chapters, but I think the last one is supposed to be quite long. So did that, and then I with my character's materia, and I liked the setup that I had, but there was a lot of stuff I wasn't using and wasn't trying, so I took every single piece of everybody's materia off and kind of, you do like a fresh kind of rebuild thing, and like properly tried to properly read everything, because I just kept picking up stuff and just hadn't really sort of digested what I had. It's also good to do that in an RPG sometimes, because you can sometimes forget, like, oh yeah, I've got this and that that I'm not really using or haven't really used yet. So rather than, even though the build that I had was working, and it wasn't a case that I got bored of that build because it was working very, very well, I just wanted to try a bunch of other stuff because why not? That's about as far as I've gotten so far. I have done a couple of more bits of the story stuff. That's been kind of interesting. I did part of a game where I didn't really get on with it. It was with when you meet Red 13's like family and all that sort of bit. There's a part where you go through this, you know, Final Fantasy style trial, and I don't mind those sometimes, but the layout of this one and the sort of purpose of it didn't really grab me as much as the other story parts, but it didn't last too long, and then the bit that was after that was actually pretty good. So I'm gonna be continuing with that. Played some COD here and there. I found something kind of interesting because I was moving a few things around in terms of storage space, because I had to delete the what's it called, the Lost, not the Lost Legacy collection, the collection with Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy. I deleted that because I didn't need it anymore. That freed up some space, and then I moved a few other things around. My COD game, Modern Warfare 2, I'm talking about, seems to work better every time I do a fresh install. I mean, there's a lot of weird things about that game at this point, but because I remember the last time I jumped on for a few games and I hadn't really done well, and it was one of them cases that, like, no matter what stuff you use, what guns you use, nothing sort of flows well or seems like it's working properly. And then did a fresh install, and I got 28 kills in a cyber attack game for the first time. So, by the way, the average amount of kills you'll get in like a cyber attack or 6v6 game is about 5 to 10 if you're having a good game. If you're having a really good game, maybe 15. But I didn't realize I had 28 until the scoreboard came up at the end. So I haven't put it on YouTube yet, but I clipped that entire game just to kind of, you know, save some nice memories. I'm curious to actually go back and watch that footage of like what was there something particular I was doing really well that I just didn't kind of notice? I don't know, but whatever it did, whatever I did, it worked really well. So there's that. But yeah, gonna be continuing with that, and of course with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth until I finish that, and then I want to maybe go to either finish off the LEGO Horizon game or maybe dip into Assassin's Creed Shadows. Not finish Assassin's Creed Shadows, but do the Curious Gamer podcast thing where you try it out. So, but it feels like I've got a ways to go in Seven Rebirth anyway until we get there. Yeah, that's pretty much everything I've been doing and everything I've been playing. I'll mention the Naughty Dog podcast project in the housekeeping section. Which we're going to get to right now. See if that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualoo,
you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Qualia to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Qualia if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Qualia, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Qualia for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, of course, there's the usual Last of Us podcast. The newest one we've got is The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 6 to Season 3, Episode 1, Spoiler Predictions. And yes, that does include predicting an episode of the start of Season 3. Basically, what I tried to do there was try to predict how the season might end and how that might flow into the next season, or at least the next episode, I think. Because as we get new episodes, we get more information, more scenes, more bits and pieces, and we figure out the puzzle as we go along. So that's for that one. Of course, if you're a show-only person or whatever, obviously don't listen to that podcast. One that you can listen to, though, is my initial off-the-cuff spoiler-free review of Season 2, Episode 5. By the way, we've got 2 episodes left, which is 6 and 7, and that is weird that we're so close to the end already. But yes, Last of Us Season 2, Episode 5, spoiler-free review, and then, of course, we'll be back Wednesday with David to do the spoiler review just for the episode, which is where we talk about the actual scenes and things like that, so stay tuned for that. Speaking of the Naughty Dog podcast project, it's called Ranking/Discussing Naughty Dog's PlayStation Video Games. They did make games before they released Crash Bandicoot on the PS1. I didn't talk about those aren't part of what I was doing. So yeah, talking about the development through line, lots of other bits, and just lots of stuff that I noticed as I went through all of these games. And then, of course, ranked all 15, from 15 to 1, worst to best of Naughty Dog's PlayStation games. Any thoughts on that podcast project? I know you probably haven't listened to that actual podcast, but any thoughts on what I've done there?
No, but that's mostly because I don't even know that I've ever played a Naughty Dog game.
You finished Last of Us 1, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I finished Last of Us 1, but outside of that, I haven't really played any of the games. So, you know, one game isn't enough data set to actually do anything about that.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, that's the Ranking and Discussion podcast. It's only about 1 hour and 10 minutes. I thought I would have gone on longer than that, personally. But that's talking about all that. Anyway, switching things over to sports, over in the United cast, Manchester United beat Athletic Bilbao by 4-1, 7-1 on aggregate, putting us into, somehow into a cup final, which is next week, Wednesday, against Tottenham Hotspur. Just for a bit of information for you all as to how weird and absurd this is. So in the Premier League at the moment, you have spots 1 to 20, 1 obviously wins the league, and the bottom 3, so 20, 19 and 18 all get relegated. Man United and Tottenham, are currently sitting 17th, and Man United is sitting 16th. There's a point between us, and both the two teams, so arguably technically the two worst of the big clubs in the Premier League, have somehow got themselves both to a cup final. It's being discussed in a very weird way in the football community, but yeah, that's the thing that's happening. So one of us who've been terrible, but both of us have been terrible all season. One of us will win a trophy, and that trophy gets you into Champions League football next season. So, football's weird. It's just weird. So, that will be next week, Wednesday. We've also got last week's gaming talk. Of course, we talked about GTA 6. We'll be talking about that again in a minute. Ghost of Yote, and we said goodbye to Skype. We're in the new era now of recording via Teams, which is basically the same thing, just on a slightly different platform. So we talked about that. Did a must-see review for Dream Production Season 1, which is from the world of Inside Out. That's on Disney Plus from Pixar. And also did a review recently of Daredevil Born Again Season 1. That's what we've been doing recently on Entertainment Talk. And let's move into some news.
Before we move into news, I do want to give a PSA real quick.
Okay.
If you have been using Skype and you migrate over to Teams, make sure you take your phone number slash mobile number out of your account before you migrate it over, because I was just getting some other things set up in the background, and I noticed that your contact in my chat list has your mobile number.
Okay. Right.
And it also has David's as well, and neither of you have given me your mobile number, which is fine because I live in the US, you live in the UK. I don't even want to know what international rates are for either texting or calling. I don't need to know it. But if you're a privacy person like me, that's something you need to be aware of.
Okay, cool. All right, so there's some information for the audience. Cool. All right, let's move in some news. All right, so yes, as we talked last week when there was the announcement of the not release, it was release date and delay of Grand Theft Auto 6 until May something 2026. Of course, the day after we recorded the podcast talking about all that, they released a brand new trailer, trailer 2 for GTA 6. I quite enjoyed it. I think obviously the game looks very, very good. I haven't sort of picked it apart, but I've watched it, a couple of times. I did watch it like right before we came on to record because I haven't seen it for like a couple of days. So that was quite good. So people were pointing out cool little things as to like there's a character, excuse me, that's got like a beer at some point, and you can see like the bubbles. You know how people look out for those like little details and stuff. So that was, if that's something that you're into, I'm sure this game will be full of that. So we've got Lucia and Jason. We kind of get a bit of a breakdown on, she's been in on the inside, and by inside I mean prison, for a bit. She gets released and they start a happy romantic relationship together. We'll see how long that lasts or how happy that ends up being. Again, lots of just like wild stuff. Like I think at one point some guy was standing on like the top of a gun store with an LMG and was like shooting it in the air. There's obviously the traditional kind of ammunition advert on TV for all the guns because America likes their guns. So that was fun. This kind of looked, and maybe it's because I've had Uncharted recently on the brain, because I've just played 3-5 Uncharted games. This sort of looks like if you maybe take the set piece nature of Uncharted, you make it more grounded, because let's be honest, it's not really a grounded, realistic set piece from Uncharted. It's all kind of, grab onto the last brick of the building or unless Nathan Drake's gonna die kind of thing. That's like always how it goes down, or the end of a piece of a pipe that's come down from a building. So not quite in that sort of sense, but in the way of where's this set again? I've forgotten the name. Is it Miami?
Miami.
Miami, yeah. And I keep hearing about like how mad the place is and how this trailer and kind of obviously the first one reflects that quite a lot. And I've kept saying since they first showed the first trailer, which is what, in December, that okay, if you're gonna set a Grand Theft Auto game in somewhere apparently as mad as that, then that should give you lots and lots of gameplay opportunities. But when I was watching this second trailer and I had Uncharted a bit more on the forefront of my mind, I kind of thought, like, okay, if you combine Uncharted and the more grounded kind of realism stuff of GTA, you could kind of combine, though, not like put the DNA of Uncharted in GTA, that's not what I mean, but I'm talking about purely from set piece standpoint. But then you do that in the way of how it would fit, like, in this city and within sort of, obviously street life, and because you don't really spend that much time on Uncharted in streets, it's more sort of forests and buildings and things like that, or caves or whatever. So if you kind of took this the set piece aspect and you applied it to sort of, normal traffic and then planes and then people just doing wild stuff and then crocodiles or people running around with hammers or whatever else is going on in that place, I just hope that you can use the gameplay opportunities but as a possibility there and really kind of push things forward. I remember still, was it Rockstar's last game, 2018, Red Dead Redemption 2? And they had kind of, obviously that was a bit more scaled back in terms of what you could do with the sort of madness in the streets, if you call it that, because you were a bit more limited because of what you had in the time period. But you'd have things like gangs coming up to you, and you'd have killed one of their people, and they'd be chasing you, and then you get the like confrontation stuff where you could go positive or negative in like your responses to what they say to you, and there's like a million different gameplay possibilities you could get just out of that. So if you kind of take that, which I hope that system is in GTA 6 in some way, shape, or form, you take that, you apply it to a sort of modern day life scenario, and obviously a city scenario, and you amp that up even. You're able to then amp that up even further. And I hope it has does have a lot of kind of dynamic, just gameplay opportunities. Because as good as the story kind of looks here, and these two characters seem kind of interesting, at least from what we've seen so far, it'd be great if you could combine both. If you could, make these two turn out to be very, very interesting characters and have their dynamic be very interesting, but then combine that with some interesting gameplay, sections and things. I mean, okay, sure, you'll probably get your car chases, you'll get your shootouts and that sort of stuff. Because one thing I did say on the Naughty Dog podcast, I think Uncharted is the most kind of, not boring or stale, but it's the most simple when you're doing the sort of cover-to-cover shooting stuff. And that's where the game kind of, okay, kill a certain amount of enemies until this piece ends and then move forward. That's kind of how that works. And I hope that GTA 6 doesn't feel the need to get too sort of stuck into that. Like when you kind of you have to hold off like a bunch of people, but you have to take cover doing it, and then it's sort of, oh, they have a backup bunch of people that's come around. Here's another truck full of another eight people, but oh, it's more armored this time, so you gotta, try hard or throw some explosives, but you're not really moving much or doing much. It's just kind of cover shooting stuff. And that works for some games, like when you have Gears of War, for example. But then in Gears of War, it's not kind of, you're always stuck. You kind of have to move forward a bit and things like that. So we'll see how they can balance some of those things out. We'll see how they can kind of balance some of those things out. So we'll have to see. But yeah, what would be interesting next is obviously if we get like a 10-minute uncut gameplay section or like a gameplay trailer which shows a bit more of that. So anyway, assuming you watched this new trailer, what are your thoughts now on GTA 6?
Yeah, I watched the trailer, as did pretty much everybody else. I just checked real quick on YouTube. Their trailer has over 100 million views in a week, which is
Not surprising, yeah.
insane to say the least. 6 million upvotes. I don't know how many downvotes, but I can't imagine it being that many because it doesn't really get ratioed on the downside that often because there's nothing really to get mad about. I mean, there's people getting mad about it, but those are the people that aren't happy unless they're mad. I think the thing that struck me the most was all the little details. Now, obviously, graphics aren't the end all be all, and more than likely, these were cutscenes and not in-game play mechanics. But even in the cutscene, all the little details, like the totally not Mordello beers they were drinking, had that gold foil around the neck, and it looked all crinkly and wrinkly. And that's exactly how the beer bottle looks, in real life. So it's like the little details like that that you can tell that they just spent forever on it, which they have.
Yeah, it'll
It's
be, I think.
convinced me more than ever that it's going to be over $100 too.
Yeah, I'm getting a suspicion of that as well. I know everybody sort of half joked about that a few months ago, and I remember I think we had somebody wrote in who said like, okay, about value of games and how much time we spend and things like that. But it's kind of Nintendo's fault in a way because they are the first one who's gone, okay, here's your $80 games, and if you are, first of all, if you are Rockstar, you can get away with that. And I as I kind of mentioned with two other games before, when there was the what was it called? The rumored kind of Hogwarts Legacy special edition with like new DLC and stuff, and they were going to charge. I can't remember what it was, but they thought it was going to be too much. And I said, we live in a world, and I'm not going to explain the whole thing again here. We live in a world where the concept of what Modern Warfare 3 was going to be a cheaper game, and they got away with. Let's use the word pretending in air quotes that it was a full sequel and full game, which it wasn't, but it was like posed as Modern Warfare 3, where really it was supposed to be a Modern Warfare 2 extension, and you got away with putting that out for $70. And I can't remember what the numbers I saw on it were, but you pretty much got away with selling a bunch of copies for that. So yeah, if I look at something like that in a nutshell, and other games that we get for $70 as well, and then Nintendo comes along and goes, here's some $80 games. Rockstar would absolutely look at that and be like, yeah, most people with like disposable income, they're gonna just pay because they're not gonna want to miss out either, are they? People that have got like disposable income, so they'll just throw $100 at it and then not really think twice. So, which is a bit of a shame because, like, okay, they can get away with it, but when you get the next company that pokes their prices up a bit, and then the next one that goes, oh, you put your prices up, so that means we can get away with it. And then the next one after that goes, right, well, if you're going to do it, we're going to put our prices up as well. And I don't think that's going to end well. Especially, like, okay, if in the next, let's say, couple of years we get a new Xbox and a PS6 and whatever Nintendo's going to do with Switch 2. Obviously, we know that's coming up, but whatever. That sets a bad precedent for that. So we'll see. What do you think? I know we got a little bit more in this trailer of the two characters. What do you think of them so far? Lucia and Jason?
Yeah, the characters are going to be interesting to say the least. If you remember a few podcasts before Nintendo did their thing, we were talking about GTA 6, and you asked if I thought it would be $100. I said it's absolutely going to be $100 because they can absolutely charge that for it, and people will buy it. Same way with Nintendo charging that exorbitant amount of money for the games that never go on sale. I mean, think about it. Breath of the Wild is still full price, and that game came out in 2017, so
It's
it's almost
crazy,
a decade old,
yeah.
and it's not on any kind of discount. So yeah, I mean, it's just an excuse, and I said that last podcast was the pricing was just an excuse. They've been wanting to do it for a while, and now they have their reason.
Yeah, and again, it's this slow scaling kind of, okay, $70 is now standard, and then Nintendo goes, okay, here's $80, and then Rockstar goes, if they do it, go, okay, 100, and who's gonna be the person that looks at 100 and goes, right, we can get away with that? Like, will the next Call of Duty do that? Can they get away with it? Probably.
And that's
But
also
then
why the
where does that end?
Oblivion Remaster and Expedition 33 have been selling so well, in part is because both of those games are only $50.
Yeah. So. There we go. Where's my Battlefield screenshot that I had? There it is. So anyway, yeah, we'll talk about Battlefield in a second, but yeah, it's just like, okay, who's going to be eyeing the $100 and thinking, okay, we can do that next?
Sony.
Or
It's the only one left.
or Activision, or I don't know. So see, now I'm imagining like the Black Ops, whatever it's going to be this year, which nobody seems to quite know yet. Because there was rumors of a Black Ops 2 remake and a Black Ops 2 sequel, and both of those sound like different things, unless the game pitches itself as both. And yeah, I wouldn't want to see that be $100. So, will the next EAFC 26, will that do it? Maybe. But then it's like, okay, where does that stop? Do we then go 110, 120? Like, where does it end? Where does it end? All right, let's move on to our next topic here, because again, GTA 6 looks fantastic. I'm just now, okay, now that we have a better idea of the story and what these characters are kind of up to, I just want to see what that gameplay looks like next. So we shall see. Let's talk about Battlefield. Of course, its competitor, in quotes, is doing mildly right now. But it says here EA to properly reveal next Battlefield game this summer, and I think due to be out possibly next year. So one of the things we've talked about many times on different podcasts, two things I've particularly brought up is when it comes to FIFA and Call of Duty, and they come out year after year after year after year, and even in certain years where they were supposed to skip having a full release, they still skewed that way and did it anyway. But one thing that both franchises need, because of course PES for the football side of things kind of turned into something weird, is Call of Duty, which obviously needs competition as well. Now, okay, there's a lot of shooting games in the shooting space, but in terms of like your modern military shooting games, there really isn't that much. I mean, okay, Battlefield 2042 is still kicking around, it's still got stuff going for it, but it's not in the limelight right now. And of course, they sort of stumbled with that. I from what I've heard, they've kind of recovered things, but you stumble too much with your first impression, and not enough people kind of went back. Because in order for Activision to be kind of woken up a bit more with their efforts with Call of Duty, I think they need a little bit of a kick up the arse in terms of, hey, Battlefield's coming back. What if they do something better than you, and then that can get Activision to maybe move their asses a bit more and actually do something better. Now I've often said about like, okay, when it comes to the shooting space and shooting games, that no matter what Call of Duty does do, no matter what series it comes out with, no matter if it's a sequel, reboot, remake, DLC turned into a full game, it doesn't matter what they do, every year they sell, every year, regardless of how poorly the games are received. And partly it is because, okay, it's really the only active military modern shooter on the market, and is also kind of because of its name. People just kind of flock to it because it's the only active series. And also, okay, it's COD, and we're supposed to buy it every year. That's just kind of how that is seen to be working. I would say with this, now we don't really know much about this game, and I don't think this is going to be the rumored hero shooter that was mentioned a couple of years ago. I think the idea got thrown in the bin, or at least I haven't heard anything about that for a while, which I think is a good thing. I don't think you want to be doing your next step for a Battlefield game to be a hero shooter. It could work, but I would give that about a 10% chance. You do have an opportunity here. I mean, Battlefield, like when I'm talking with people on COD, and we talk about like shooting games we used to play, shooting games coming up, Battlefield still comes up a little bit now and again of like that's the other series that we've all kind of tried. But you get things like Titanfall and a few other game series that I mentioned, but Battlefield is the one that kind of comes up the most. And what people end up saying is just sort of how 2042 fell on its face a bit. But if you come back with a new game, refreshed kind of game, and that, I don't think it could be a case that you could dethrone Call of Duty, or even I don't even know what that looks like necessarily, but because of the state that COD is in, because even with Black Ops 6, with its new features and its 4-year dev cycle, I still hear kind of average things about it and how like certain things aren't working and all that kind of thing. It depends what this is, how it comes out, what state it comes out in, what they sort of promise and what they deliver on, and all that sort of thing. But I think with a fresh new game, with the state that COD is in at the moment, it's not in an awful, awful state. It's in a middle level working state. That's how I would kind of describe COD at the moment. But I think you have an opportunity to come back with something fresh and at least distract some players away. I don't think that this will be a case that, let's say this, whatever this new Battlefield game is, let's say it comes out next year and it sells more than next year's COD. Don't think that's going to happen. Don't think that's going to happen. Especially as next year is maybe supposed to be Modern Warfare 4, and that's kind of like their main series, and people are going to be flocking over to that. But yeah, you have an opportunity to do something and to kind of at least, stick your shoulder in there, stick your kind of, give COD a bit of a poke and a bit of a wake up and be like, hey, Battlefield's doing something. Maybe you should do a little kind of, when you kind of give someone a look across the room of like, hey, can we have a chat sort of thing. That kind of, hey, there's something going on. You should kind of, that kind of. That look that you might give someone in a crowded room of kind of, hey, there's something over here you should pay attention to. That's kind of what Battlefield should at least try to do. Like, imagine you walk into a room, there's a person asleep in the corner. That person is Activision slash COD, and you shout at them to wake them up a bit, and you go, come outside, come have a look at kind of what's going on, and it's Battlefield doing well. That's how I would kind of describe how this next Battlefield could do. So I think it can feed off of that in a way, but in terms of like knocking COD off of its perch and like taking the number one spot, I think that's going to take a bit more work and probably a few like consistent entries in the series. So we shall see. But yeah, it's going to be revealed this summer, so maybe Summer Game Fest or whatever it's going to be, maybe it'll be shown off there. And we'll see what they come out of the gate with. In terms of me being interested in this, we just have to see what exactly it is and what exactly they're gonna try and do. So we'll see. Anyway, I know the shooting space isn't really where you look to necessarily, Robert, but what do you think this Battlefield game could do both for itself, for the series, and in terms of nudging up against COD?
Well, it would either have to do one of two things. It would have to either come up with a really compelling story, and some of those shooters have had very compelling
Oh
stories,
yeah. Oh yeah.
or it would have to come up with a gameplay mechanic like they did with the omnidirectional diving thing that would at least give people something absolutely never seen before to try as something new. Now, it's in theory they could do both, but they would have to do one or the other to really kind of up their presence in the market.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have a bit of a two-sided coin there as well, because if you do come out with a genuine, just good working functioning game, which I know is kind of the bare minimum, but that really does kind of go a long way sometimes to sort of winning faith back in a way. But if you can do that as well as kind of, and I'm talking about just launching in a good technical state, which 2042 did not do that. And the thing is, with 2042, it was like, hey, here's this like tornado mechanic and the movement and the sort of on the, I think it had like on the go attachment changing. You could sort of like lift your gun up and you could select different bits, and like on the go you could remove your silencer or put a different scope on. Like, you can still do those kinds of things. So yeah, new mechanics that make people go, oh, that looks cool, like that sort of to grab people's interest. So I agree there, but again, like, as good as those things are, which again 2042 showed, if you can do that, but then also just genuinely just launch in a good state, and also just because you have to remember, whenever it was that 2042 launched, I don't think it looked, was it that it didn't launch with like a leaderboard or something? It was something weird like that. And
I don't know. I remember everybody clowning on it because it was so bad, but I don't remember specifically what it was.
it was a bit of a combination of like, and there was some funny glitchy stuff, like you could drive a boat like up the side of a building, or that kind of thing going on, but then also broken stuff. But then it was kind of, there was weird basic features missing, so you've got to obviously clean that sort of stuff up before you launch your game. So we'll see what it can do. We'll see how much it can nudge Call of Duty. But then because it's got its own thing to do, right, in terms of bringing itself back. But then what does that mean in terms of nudging up against Call of Duty? Because other than, like, I'm trying to think of inactive franchises as well that are modern military shooters, like a Battlefield, like a COD.
SOCOM.
SOCOM, I guess.
Yeah, SOCOM got a raw deal because they launched a week before the infamous Sony hack where their network was down
Oh, right.
forever.
Yeah. 2011 thing, I think it was, yeah. So you've got things like Medal of Honor, which have been floating around there, but I don't think Medal of Honor was ever a modern military shooter. It was always like a World War One, World War Two shooter, unless I can't even remember who owns that, because that game was that series has been dormant for a long, long time. But if someone wants to wake that series up, and then, cause I don't think that's been active since like maybe the PS3 days. I don't remember any PS4 Medal of Honor games. Maybe if someone wakes that series up and kind of does something there. But most other ones that you've got, like Halo, Titanfall, I know PUBG is kind of modern military shooter, but that's really in its own kind of like battle royale space.
Well, technically, the Medal of Honor IP is owned by EA,
Oh, it's
but
EA,
I don't
okay.
see them doing.
Yeah. See, they've ended up being a bit like Ubisoft, where it's sort of, you almost forget certain IP that the two of them have got because they just haven't used them for a while. Like, I wonder if you ran a survey on, let's say, 20, just 20 random people and said, who do you remember who owns Rayman, for example? Because we haven't seen Rayman for ages, or something, some sort of similar question like that for an IP that's not been active for a while. But yeah, I don't know what EA could do with something like Medal of Honor. So, and that doesn't mean that people won't play a World War One, World War Two shooter. If the game's good, then the game's good. But I don't think it can do the same thing that a Battlefield or a COD could do. So, we'll see. Anyway, that's your Battlefield news. Let's move on to some Marvel game updates. Of course, we did have from Amy Hennig's studio, Marvel 1943. Speaking of that time period, Rise of Hydra launch update. We have not important updates for the same title. We'll now be launching in early 2026. Interesting timing considering a certain game due for May. Taking this additional time will allow us to add more polish and make sure we give the best possible experience, and one that lives up to our vision. We have some exciting things in store and look forward to sharing more soon from the Marvel 1943 team. It's pretty much your standard delay news slash letter. Yeah, we hadn't heard about this game for a little bit, so it kind of makes sense that the next thing we hear from it is a delay. But yeah, interesting that, again, me coming away from Uncharted and the whole Amy Henning thing over there, and of course this is her next game that she is. I'm not sure if she's writing, directing, producing. I can't remember what her exact role is for the game, but she's doing this next. Okay, so if we have this, it says early 2026. Now that could be January, could be February, March, April, May, and of course now the month to avoid for everybody is May 2026. Again, like we discussed last week, where we knew about GTA 6's delay and how that opens up the autumn slash fall for everybody, and how that's going to work out in the next, 6 7 months for different companies. If you now can't make fall or autumn 2025 because you were holding off for GTA 6 and that's now been pushed, some games can still get away with coming out in that sort of February, March, even sort of early January period. So I'm going to guess this is going to try to launch before GTA 6. Yeah, it's a game that we've seen some of. I think we've seen, what, two trailers for this. We saw Kerry Payton, of course, played Ezekiel in The Walking Dead. He's going to be voicing the Black Panther. And then you've got Captain America in a sort of different time period going on where you're going to have those two in the games. That's quite cool. But yeah, I don't remember seeing any specific gameplay parts yet. We've just had, I think, a couple of trailers so far, and they've looked good. I think Kerry Payton's a good fit for that role. So we'll see how that goes and see what Amy Henning and her team can come up with this particular game. So, but this admittedly hasn't been one that's. This and kind of Wolverine, because we haven't really known, like, okay, are they 2025 games, or is it 2026 or 27? Because you never really know these days. Those are games that haven't really been on my mind as much, as opposed to, like, Death Stranding, which comes out very soon, and obviously we've had Expedition 33 and all that. So, yeah, I've not been thinking as much about, like, the likes of Wolverine or this game. Not just Marvel games, but get games that feel like they're off a bit more in the distant future, sort of post this year. So we'll have to see. Anyway, what do you think of this update here?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, once they went ahead and just delayed it, then I knew at least that was going to be just a free rein to go ahead and just keep dropping everything down and going out.
So what do you reckon then, before GTA 6 in May?
Yeah, I mean, we don't officially have a date for a GTA 6. We have more of a concept time than anything else.
But yeah, I could see this maybe dropping in like March or something, just before GTA 6. It's interesting because where we previously thought, okay, maybe November, December for GTA 6, and COD and FIFA would still come out anyway, because you won't get your COD or FIFA in May because that just doesn't happen. I do wonder what games will come out. Like, obviously, GTA 6 isn't going to be the only video game released in May 2026. There's going to be other titles dropping in and around that. But I wonder what those will end up being now that those sort of. Because you'll probably have, what, like another Assassin's Creed this year, and the sort of traditional fall games that we get, like an Assassin's Creed, a FIFA, a COD, and then probably some other big AAA title. Now that you won't have those in the same May section, although, when did Assassin's Creed, yeah, came out in, was it on Valentine's Day? Yeah, February
It was
20.
supposed to, it got pushed again.
Oh yeah, it was like slightly after that. But yeah, anyway, with it being away from those sorts of games, I do wonder what will drop in and around that. But I guess we'll have to find. I guess we'll have to wait just over here to find out. Anyway, that's all the news I've got this week, Robert. How about you?
I got a few things for you. First off, the battle between the Federal Trade Commission and Microsoft, hopefully, is finally over. For those people that don't remember, a quick too long didn't read was that the FTC decided we're gonna fuck some shit up, and Sony decided we're gonna lie our ass off to the public about everything. And then when it got into the courts and everything got exposed, the FTC looked like a bunch of clowns, and they got dunked on hard by the courts. Then they decided, yeah, we didn't get slapped around enough, we should appeal. And they appealed, and they were actually getting grilled by senators in congressional hearings about that. And one congressman actually said, "Do you only take the cases you know you're going to lose? Because that's kind of your track record." That's how bad the FTC was doing in court with a lot of these things. Well, their last appeal got denied, so hopefully this nonsense is over, even though Microsoft already owns Activision Blizzard, and they're already making a crap ton of money off of it. In the article, it mentions that 61% year-on-year increase in Xbox content and services revenue A large bulk of that, they don't give an exact number, but a large bulk of that is because of everything they gained from Activision Blizzard, from the mobile side, which Microsoft has been pushing mobile really hard, and then the microtransactions for all the games, both for Call of Duty and whatnot. And they've been, they've just been making a crap ton of money, and it reflects in everything. So, and I know FTC doesn't really affect things over where you live, but any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to any of these kinds of areas of things, whenever I hear about something not going well or someone coming off like a dumbass or someone saying something stupid, I've got to that age where I'm just not surprised by that anymore. Because even if it's like government-based things or things based in the same sort of, I was gonna say genre, area of work, you often hear a good chunk of them say stupid stuff or make stupid choices. So, not quite surprised about that. I wasn't surprised initially when we got the bickering over everything in the first place. It always did kind of make me more chuckle than anything else when one of the big pieces of this, of like, I guess being scared of Microsoft doing this whole monopoly thing, was when they were like, "We are not taking Cold off of PlayStation," and both PlayStation and whoever they were dealing with were like, "But you might," and it's like, "Okay, but that would be really stupid. But you might do it. What if you do it?" But because we're really scared, and it's so I just remember being amused by that the entire way through because that was never going to happen. So I mean, when it gets to a point where Microsoft were talking about putting COD on Switch of all things with those Joy-Cons. You're not going to take it away from PlayStation, are you? So, especially when there's all the history there and everything. So, it's the way I always look at these kind of things when it comes to the more bickering side of stuff is people in suits that don't always know what they're doing, that groan and bicker at each other like, I would say like grown men, but they don't all act like grown men. Some of them genuinely act like children. So, again, I've got to a point or to an age particularly in the last couple of years where I'm just not surprised
In the direct.
by that anymore. Oh, what was that?
That was an ad pop up on the web browser.
Oh, I thought you were trying to play a clip. So,
No, I was trying to kill it, actually.
I see. But yeah, and look, when you get, I'll say government people saying stupid stuff, sometimes it's more worth it to just laugh at it. Than to get, I mean, some of those things are genuinely worrying and more angry worthy, and some of them are more just kind of, you've just said something that's just stupid and it's just amusing. That's the way that I look at it anyway. So, because if in this day and age, if you look at every sort of government person and then every time they make a decision that makes you angry, if you walk around being constantly angry about those things, then you're gonna be a bit unhappy and a bit unhealthy. It's a bit of an unhealthy approach to that kind of thing. It's often when you're trying to figure out someone's logic of how they've not just said what they've said, but got to the thinking point of thinking of the thing that they've said, or maybe there is no thinking in those points. Anyway, that's pretty much a summary of how I would sum that up. So, any other thoughts on this?
I mean, it was a waste of money when they appealed. Everybody knew it was going to be a
Oh,
failure.
yeah.
And plus, you got to remember they sent the appeal before the presidential election, and now we're in a different presidential election
Right,
with different
right.
policies and different politics. So it had zero chance before in what I would consider a more friendly environment for the government. That is not the case right now. So it had zero chance in hell to get anywhere off the ground on that. And to be honest, the FTC has flopped hard miserably on several things like that
From what I've
before the
heard.
current administration.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before, during, and after. And continuously, I suppose. There we go. Anyway, what's next?
Well, staying with Microsoft, they announced plans to do a 3% cut of its global workforce, which means everything all around the world, And I knew Microsoft was a big company. I had no idea they were this big. Guess they don't have an exact headcount, but guess how many people the article says have a tie to Microsoft as an employee.
Oh, probably a ton, an absolute ton, because it's not just Xbox stuff, is it? There's all the PC stuff that they do. I mean,
Yeah, all the Office
we're
stuff,
using
PC
a
stuff.
Microsoft program right now, and we're not playing video games. So,
Yeah, the
yeah.
PC stuff, the Office stuff, the web services. But just throw a number out there just for shits and giggles.
200,000.
You're actually really close. The
Oh, wow,
number in the
okay.
article is 228,000, and the
That's
3%
very
cut
close. Wow. Yeah.
is roughly 7,000, give or take. And obviously, Microsoft has been reducing headcount a lot the last few years. If you remember, I think the final count was about 10,000 in 2023, but that was just from stuff in the US. And 2024, they did a few reductions. So 3% is not a
Does
huge
Bobby
number.
Kotick count as one of those, or is it because he was let go in a different way? Does he count in that number?
I don't know, but as long as he's gone, that's all I care about.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, they had to downsize 2,600 with the merger from Activision Blizzard because of the double staffing, which happens. Anybody that's been a part of a company that got bought out by another part of the company, you know that they get rid of double staff. It happens all the time. So it's one of those things that, it sucks if you lost your job, but considering the not only the video game market, but so many other markets have just been shrinking and downsizing the last couple of years, you can't not expect it. I mean, hell, we got where I live, I have a government job, and I'm cautiously optimistic that I'll still have it in 6 months. But with budgets being different, got administration change as well, you never know.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I've got the job that I've got, which is the cleaning at the school, because you're always going to have kids going to that school, which is what you want. I've got plenty of teachers there, and at the moment, at least, I mean, you never know what can happen in life. It's a stable, secure job. In fact, it was funny. When was it? It was about a year or so ago, maybe, and I was talking to an employment person. Let's call them that. I don't know what their actual official title was, so let's call them employment person. And they were suggesting different jobs to me, and all of them would have caused me to have, let's say, less time, and also I would have had to have got rid of that job. And I was trying to tell them how sort of that what the things that you're suggesting to me just don't sound like good ideas as opposed to what I have. And I got kind of moaned at for being too comfortable and for having a job that was too comfortable. And I'm like, don't you think that's a good isn't that a good thing that I'm both comfortable in the job and the job is at least at the moment feels quite secure? But just because you're doing the job that you're doing, you want me to move to do something else just because you want me to do that. I thought it was a weird way to kind of approach me with that scenario. Because the person I was talking to kind of almost snarkily said, like, oh, it's because you're too comfortable. So, yeah. I mean, there's a version of, like, let's say you get too comfortable in a job and you start slacking. That's a different thing of sort of thinking that you're irreplaceable and, like, invincible in that way. That's not quite what I'm talking about. Because I still try to do, the best job that I can. But it wasn't in the sense of like, oh no, nothing can get rid of me. No one can get rid of me. It wasn't that. It was just kind of, I know what other industries are like, such as the gaming one that we're talking about and the government one that you're talking about as well. In fact, I think from general school work, whether it is, caretaker, teacher, cleaner, because you're not really gonna run out of business or run out of customers in the same way as if you were like running a shop or relying more on something that required people to buy stuff from you, because the school doesn't really work in that way. I mean, for teachers, it can be a very stressful sector to get into, but it can be quite a reliable one from what I understand as well. So, anyway, that's my more personal side of things. So, any
Yeah, and
thoughts
the
on that?
comfortable thing, I can kind of understand it a little bit because I've worked with a lot of people, and some people just have that really ambitious go-getter attitude, and some people just don't, which is fine, either one, whichever one works for you. And my thinking is of more of she's saying, okay, you're 30, you probably should have a little bit more ambition than what you have now, but if you're making it work, you're making it work.
No, I get what you mean by that approach. Although that still wasn't quite the way that she put it towards me. So, yeah. Anyway, that was probably like a year and a half ago or something. So, anyway. All right, what do you have next?
Oh, well, next up, Microsoft has decided we haven't been evil enough lately. Let's take care of that. So they made a few cheeky changes to their end user license agreement. I'm going to go over them. I'm going to decide, let you decide which one you think is the most evil.
Okay.
First up is the hardware change. As part of their end user license agreement, they say that if they think, not prove, think that you're either modifying your Switch 2 or doing any kind of piracy with your Switch 2,
Do you mean
they're just going to
Nintendo?
go ahead
Oh,
and
you said
brick the
Microsoft
machine.
when you started this. Sorry.
No, sorry, Nintendo.
Okay.
My brain didn't want to work there for a second. I had Microsoft on the brain. Yeah, this is Nintendo deciding to, continue down their evil villain arc.
Gotcha.
So for the Switch 2, they've decided that if they think you're modifying your Switch 2 or you're doing piracy stuff and playing pirated games on your Switch 2, they're just going to brick it. Just render it completely unusable.
God.
And that falls into an interesting legal battle over here in the States. I don't know what the laws are in the UK, but here in the States, they've established on several different lawsuits and precedents what they call the right to self-repair, to where a company cannot stop you from getting third-party part replacements to fix your machines. That was actually one of the big stories we had that I had when the Steam Deck first came out, was that they were all for that, and they actually partnered with a third-party parts repair company called iFixit here in the States, and they were giving all their specs and everything to iFixit, and they were letting iFixit come up with some stuff to do third-party repairs, both as a way to not have to constantly stock parts if something went bad, and not to bog down their service center if there was like a weird bad run of Steam Decks, because that'll happen every now and then. I mentioned that with the graphics card, to where there was a physical component, and they had a run of the cards to where not all the physical components got added to the card, if you remember that. But yeah, then on top of that, they added into the EULA to where they don't want anybody to be a part of a class action lawsuit anymore. So by signing the EULA, you waive any kind of legal lawsuit, and they actually say either go through arbitration or call customer service. Because, if your machine explodes and burns your house down, customer service will take care of that real quick. And then, even past that, the EULA is now allowing expanded monitoring. So they can use the colonoscopy-looking webcam that they had there. They can use that. They can use the microphone that's built in to surveil, pick up on anything problematic. It's just one of those things that it's the more and more I see about it, the less and less I want to own a Switch 2, and the more and more I actually want to sell my Switch.
We do actually have an e email later about the Switch 2, which is interesting. I will get to that in a second. I don't know which one of those I think is maybe the worst, because they're all quite bad. So especially the sort of, because I know people have a lot of kind of anxiety and stuff when it comes to cameras and microphones and things like that, which we are using microphones right now. But the first one stuck out to me a bit that you mentioned about like bricking a system if they think you're doing something wrong as opposed to proving it. That's that maybe it's because it's the first one that you mentioned, but that one kind of stuck out to me as maybe the worst of those three. But they're all pretty bad. So I mean, it's like when what was it, the DualSense came out for the PS5, and some people didn't realize that it had the built-in mic that automatically was unmuted. You can mute it, obviously. You can press the button and it goes yellow and shows that it's muted, but some people didn't know that. So yeah, be careful about that kind of stuff, I suppose. Obviously you have them with, you've got cameras and microphones with your phone, but then there's different privacy settings and stuff. So yeah, they
Yeah,
anyway, what do you think of these?
with the hardware thing, this is one of the areas that I orbit around the most, because obviously I do PC gaming, so I'm
Yeah.
familiar with hardware, and I worked a few years doing smartphone support. So a very simple scenario, the Switch 2 comes out and the battery is absolute garbage. I mean, just low energy retention, high battery usage. It is just a literal waste. And then somebody third party comes out and says, "Hey, got a Switch 2? We got a better battery for it." They swap out the battery. It's a million times better. Nintendo can just say, "Modded, bricked, dead." And that was actually a very contentious lawsuit here in the States with Apple, because when I did smartphone support for Apple, it was part of their licensing agreement that you could not do third-party repairs, and if you did, it voided any warranty. And I had tons of calls to people who would take their phone to the, kiosks in the mall. I don't know if you have like phone kiosks in the mall in the UK, but they would go and put like a crazy, have the screen replaced with like some crazy color screen, or have the backplating replaced with some weird looking thing, and oh, warranties are gone.
Yeah, they, in fact, in the UK we have a lot of shops that are like that also for some reason sell vapes as well, because I guess that fits the same brand of person. I don't know, but there are these little tiny shops where you can get like chargers, cases. They do repairs in quotes, as they say, and then also sell vapes as well, because vapes are popular, especially with like teenagers and things like that. So
Yeah, teenagers are stupid.
In fact, my local town, which has been slowly but surely closing most of its shops because obviously the high street and things like that, a lot of, and there's a few pages that I follow online that kind of give updates for like, hey, new shop here, this one's closing, and it's actually, quite useful to know what's going on. And then the amount of times it's like, hey, this thing's closing, oh, it's being replaced with a phone repair slash vape shop. And it's not that those are a problem. If that's, if you often get your phone customized and whatever, and you also happen to want vapes, then I guess that's for you. But we don't need 15 of them in a town. You maybe need two. Depends on distance and whatever, but we don't need 15 of them in within like half a mile of each other, so, or less than that. So yeah, it's a weird one. What are vapes like in the US? Are they kind of popular over there?
They're popular, but they're also very, very heavily hate bombed with advertisings from quote unquote third party non-political non-profit organizations. So like if you've ever seen a weird commercial that makes no sense, kind of like places like that.
So anyway, do you want to move on from this one?
Yep.
Cool. What you got next?
This is the last story I got. And finally, I get to end my segment on good news.
Good
That's
news,
nice.
everyone.
So Capcom, as you know, had an insane release with Monster Hunter Wilds this year. And it shows in the numbers, they just did their earnings report for the ending of fiscal year 2024. The operating income for the company as a whole was up 15.2% year on year, with the game segment specifically achieving an 8.9% increase, which is separate from the company's arcade, amusement, and other businesses. And as a result, Capcom has now reached its goal of 10% more or more annual growth in operating income fiscal year for 10 consecutive years. Its next goal is to achieve 100 million units in annual sales of its games, of all its games, and it's already halfway there, and we're not even 3 months into this first fiscal year.
Cool. Yeah, again, Capcom's one that's been on a bit of a roll in the last couple of years. Of course, on their Resident Evil stuff, they've done very well. Very, very not much. Very, very much. You know, not for me on the Resident Evil stuff, but they've done really well over there. Of course, by remaking some of their old games and putting out some well-received newer ones. Of course, with like 7 and 8. And then probably doing some other ones as well. 2 and 3 remake were received well, so was 4. Four, when I replayed the remake of 4, that's when I kind of fully realized, like, okay, this franchise is just not for me. The Monster Hunter games I've still not sort of properly jumped into and tried, and they're ones that I am curious about, so that's a sort of maybe at some point one. But they've done well. They've done very, very well. So yeah, keep doing what you're doing. It seems to be working, and they are actually a game company that are making people happy. So that's a very good
Yep.
thing. So
And they're also one of the few game companies that is listening to the fans and bringing back inactive IPs. They've got a new Okami game in the works, and I think the Onimusha game is coming out this year. I don't know if it's been delayed or not, but I know at one point it was supposed to come out this year. But with everything getting, the cascading downward of delays and, oh, this game's delayed, so we can spend a couple more months doing this or that or the other. I don't know if it's still coming out this year or not.
Yeah, we'll see. But you've got to have, you've got to have your finger on the pulse, realize what fans want you to do, and listen to them. Not always, always. You know, some fans do come up with some ideas that don't work, but because at the end of the day, right, whatever company you are and whatever IP you've got, if, let's say, over the course of like 5 years, and you continue to see messages online of like, please bring back this franchise, please bring back this franchise, please bring back this franchise, and you just ignore them over and over and over again, right? And then, let's say for another company, they'll have the same thing where they realize, oh, people really, really want us to bring back this franchise or that franchise. Now, obviously, you've got the options of, do you make a new game within your franchise? Do you reboot, remaster, or what? You know, which route do you kind of take with that? And then some fans are very grateful when, I mean, heck, one of the more delightful kind of areas of the reaction YouTube community is when people do get kind of emotional and they do get kind of really, really happy, where it's sort of, oh my God, this thing that I loved, 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago is finally coming back, and look how good it looks with all the new hardware, and that's really, really nice to see. So I mean, heck, when it comes to something like Dead Space that was dead for a while, and I'd always been curious to play it, but I'm glad I did almost accidentally wait for the remake to come out. Heard nothing but great things over about it, for years and years and years, and it was never a case that I didn't have the interest to play it. It was just because I kind of moved on from the 360 PS3 era, and then it was sort of okay, I could play it backwards compatible, but whatever. And then you revisit it, you remake it, and particularly the first one, which is very, very beloved. And that game is, that's like a proper top class video game. I do sometimes think about Dead Space, just like when it gets brought up in conversations and things like that. So I was very glad that I had that experience. So and even if I did sort of not bow down to it or whatever, but kind of okay, I'll go back and do the backwards compatible version, I still would have had a great time with it. But would it have had the same effect of it not being the remake, I don't know. But then, so yeah, that opportunity came around and it worked out really great. And they gained, I mean, I don't know if I could call myself a Dead Space fan per se, but damn, I really loved that first game. And if you can build on that and do more of it, then yeah, you'll gain more of a fan in me. So that's also a way you can pick up other fans as well. So by revisiting stuff and bringing them back. And there's probably, we could probably individually list, what, 30 different IPs that have maybe not been used for a while. And I mean, I talked over the last, what, two or three podcasts about Ubisoft's IP and the ones that they haven't used for a while. So it's just good to do. And Capcom seems to be listening to that area, which is good to see. So, and I'm not even really that familiar with what Capcom has got in their IP locker, so they could even surprise me one day, I suppose. So,
Well, we know they have the Street Fighter series.
yeah, got that one. Monster Hunter, Resident Evil, Devil May Cry as well, I think, right? They could do some stuff there. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on kind of this not resurgent from Capcom, but this sort of continued momentum from them?
Oh, it's definitely one of those things to where, they listened to the fans, they gave the fans what they wanted, and shockingly, they sold. Copies, and that, and I talked about that too. That launch on PC was an absolute disaster,
Right. Yeah.
and
Did
it still sold like mad.
Yeah. So there we go. All right, you said that's the last that you've got, so let's move on to our feedback. Of course, if you'd like to write into the show, you're more than welcome to. Not that I can actually stop you per se, but right, feel free to write in about you can write in about random stuff, any questions individually for the two of us or whatever, or any actual gaming things you want to write in about. Let us know what you're playing, what you might play next, if you finished any games, and your thoughts on anything that we've discussed here or anything that we haven't discussed. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, social media, whatever, eTalk Care Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Josh writes in first and says, fairly new to the podcast. What is the prep like for each one? Different for each series you do? Question mark. Yeah, different prep definitely for different series. It depends on what we're covering, how we're doing it, whether the thing is a TV show, game, film, or main night podcast, which is why we separate all those ones. For this, for me at least, it's kind of take screenshots of news pieces or watch videos for trailers, like a GTA 6 trailer or, presentations for stuff. Note them down or just scroll through the company's YouTube channel, like with the PlayStation stuff or Nintendo. Then give our thoughts and opinions. And if there's any other information we come across, jot those bits down and whatever. And yeah, talk about what we've been playing, talk about all your stuff that we can talk about as well. And pretty much go from there. It depends on kind of what's coming up, what I'm currently doing, what I'm brainstorming, and then if I excuse me, if I get a rare situation of, I do one podcast and it snowballs into another. So like with The Last of Us one that I did in January before was it whatever month it was before season two came out, and then it went to the Crash games, then to the Uncharted, then that led to the Naughty Dog thing, and that just kind of snowballed from there. That's kind of a rare case, but yeah, I like sometimes it's more kind of if it's a review or a discussion, sometimes I'll know pretty much what I want to say before I even start recording, and then maybe I jot a few things down for a guide. And then I just start talking and then just let my train of thought, take itself where it's going to go. We do other things, obviously, like when we do the recap reviews with David, like I'll note down the different scenes so we can break that down that way, give our sort of pre-thoughts on an episode. When it comes to things like, so some of the newer sort of stuff, because things like the spoiler predictions episodes for The Last of Us, I've not really done that format before. That was. That's been very kind of new as well. But that's again taking my knowledge of what happens in the game, talking about the scenes we have had, haven't had, or ones still to come up, figuring out how that might all work out as, a puzzle piece as to, okay, if a scene's been moved or where a scene might come up, or if a scene is a remix for a different one. So that's been a bit of a new one for me to kind of tackle. Not in terms of covering The Last of Us, but in terms of the specific spoiler prediction aspect. I've never done that before. So there's that sort of thing. But yeah, we just kind of take each one kind of as it comes. So I don't know what your... I mean, you like gather news stories and stuff, but what's your sort of prep like for this podcast and other ones?
Well, for this one, because we do focus on mostly gaming news, I have three or four websites that I'll curate and try to find interesting stories. If I'm watching a video on YouTube and I hear something funny, I'll try to record it, and that way I can have sound bites to just troll you with.
We do not care.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't really have to do a whole lot of prep work because I'm one of those people that I don't have a massive amount of mental bandwidth. I mean, I can split my mind between two or three different things finally, but like going long on some things has never been my thing. I've lost count of the number of podcasts that I've stopped listening to because they go forever. It's like, I think one of the Sacred Symbol podcasts went almost 5 hours, and I'm like, I can't imagine talking for 5 hours, much less listening.
I still don't know if they take a break on that. I've never been able to tell, unless it's one where it's they talk pre-state of play, then they go, right, now we're going to cut to our afterthoughts on it. But that's a rarer example because that doesn't happen all the time. Maybe they're really good at editing or something, but I can never quite tell, like, if they take a break. So yeah, I don't know how they do that. But it's also because I know you and other people have joked about how many podcasts I do and that sort of thing. But okay, there's a difference.
They're not
between,
5 hours long.
There's a difference between the number of podcasts and how long I'm actually talking for. Because you've got to remember with Sacred Symbols, Colin does 5 and a bit hours there or something, and then does maybe a knockback episode, then does a constellation episode, then does whatever else they do over there. Then they even do Sacred Symbols Plus episodes, which is like bonus episodes on top of the 5 hour episodes. So that's a hell of a lot of talking in 1 week. Because I do some podcasts that are 20 to 40 minutes. I mean, even with... as much as I do talk about things with Last of Us, when it comes to the spoiler-free review, the sort of, hey, I've just watched the episode the first time, what's my off-the-cuff, just feelings and thoughts, not really talking about the scenes themselves, those have been about 20 to 40 minutes maybe. But then I'm also giving myself the restriction of not talking about the scenes and just talking about like how good it was, how it made me feel and whatever. So there's that part. And even with last week's spoiler predictions, I know that episode was 2 hours, 20 minutes, but that was part of one podcast and another one combined. I don't know. It's some people can even talk longer than a lot longer than kind of what I can. So I don't know. Anyways, moving from that, Harrison says, love the chat about exclusives last week. So I think we talked about, was it Gears of War? Yeah, Gears of War and the Halo chat and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think this will work for the new Xbox releases in the future? I think it will kind of work the same way that, you know, with Sony, how they've been doing, like, hey, Horizon's 5 years old, let's put it out on PC. And I don't think Xbox is going to wait 5 years because Indiana Jones, for example, what was it, like less than a year is on PlayStation. I don't think it's going to be... So let's say, for example, what games have they actually got coming up? Say the next Halo game or the next Gears of War game. Say Gears of War Day 1, whatever it's going to be called. I can't remember the name of it, but the new...
E-Day.
E-Day, yeah. Day 1, E-Day. That's not going to be like... Let's say, for example, that's February 1st, 2026, right? That's not going to come to PlayStation February 1st, 2026. I think with those, it's going to be 3 to 6, maybe 8 months, as opposed to when Ghost of Yote is going to come out on PlayStation, and that will probably be on PC in 3 to 5 years, maybe at the earliest 2 years. So, I mean, because even with Sony's bigger games, like with Last of Us 2, that took, because sometimes we forget that game in and of itself is 5 years old. That came to PC, it was either late last year or early this year, I can't quite remember. But
I think it was late last year.
it was within the last year or something, yeah. So that's taken 5 years. It doesn't feel like Xbox is going to wait that long, and I certainly don't think it's going to be day one. The only way I think they're going to do that day one is if Game Pass does come to PlayStation, which I would say at this point I would give maybe 30% chance of happening. But then that feels more complicated than kind of we'll give you our games when we feel like it sort of thing.
Yeah,
Because then
something
that,
like that.
yeah.
Microsoft might want to do it, but then they'd have to get Sony to agree with it. And I don't see Sony agreeing with that, because that's a direct competition to their paid service.
I get what you mean with that though, but it's kind of that's still not pulling PlayStation people away from their console, because it's okay, even if okay, you log on your PlayStation and you see your Xbox. Like where you go to the store and then you see your Plus tab and all that stuff, you'd probably then have a separate tab that says game. Maybe it would say Game Pass or not Xbox Game Pass or something. It would maybe be a separate tab there. But you're still subscribing through a PlayStation console. So I get what you mean in terms of you're advertising your rivals' games on your system, even though you're kind of already doing that because of things like Forza and whatever else, but it still won't be pulling people away from PlayStation, which I think is the thing that Sony wouldn't want to do. So anyway, we'll see if that ever happens, I guess. Speaking of the question I mentioned earlier, Beth writes in and says, what could convince you both to get a Switch 2? Nothing, nothing. It's both a case for me of their library just doesn't interest me anymore. Not in a way of I think their library's bad. Like, Mario's cool, Zelda's cool, some of their other characters are kind of interesting and kind of cool, but when it comes to first party, second party, and third party releases on PlayStation, I just have enough get I just have enough games. It's like with subscription services, right? Let's say you go and subscribe to like eight different subscription services and you watch TV for the next month. You're not really gonna, unless you're a proper TV binger, which even then, like to even just keep track of shows across, let's say, eight different subscription services, you probably at most only need three of them. And plus, if you're distracted by like three of those subscription services and you forget about a show that comes out on one of the other ones, you're not really using the other ones, so you might as well switch those off. So it's also a case that okay, I could play Zelda games, I could play Mario games, I could turn my Switch back on and, continue with some of those games, but I just have already more than enough than what I need on PlayStation itself, whether that's Xbox games coming over there or third-party games or PlayStation's games themselves. I just don't really need Nintendo's games and I don't feel the want for them. So, because that's the thing sometimes with us as consumers is we do sometimes subscribe to like too many things or whatever. And it's like, okay, you don't actually like need all of them. Like, for example, when Yellow Jackets just finished, what was it, a couple of months ago or a month ago on Paramount, I could have watched Section 31, I could have watched not Discovery, Strange New World Season 2. But I had other things I was watching on other subscriptions, and date was coming up for Paramount. It's like, okay, I could use this. I'm not being pulled towards it right now. And the show I was subscribing to it for has finished, so I just at the moment just have no need for it. So I'm just gonna switch off the auto renewal. And then I was, watching stuff on Sky and on other platforms, and I just don't need the rest of it. So, 'cause we do kind of have like a glut of entertainment at our feet as well. Like, we have so many films, so many shows, so many video games, and we still need them all. So, yeah. Anyway, it's both a case of that of like I don't feel the need or the want for Nintendo's library, and also like again, I know I gave my thoughts a couple of different times about the actual Switch 2. I just don't really, I'm just not interested in playing games on a Switch 2. I just have no need for that. And even when I first got my Switch, Nintendo Switch, the first one, and I would like play some games on buses and stuff, I'm on my scooter more than I even realize now. And obviously, I'm not going to be whipping out a Switch 2 while I'm on my scooter. So, even the sort of, because even like if I'm in my dad's car or whatever, and we're going for a family meal or something, that's not for that long. And I have my phone. I just have other things I can do, and I just don't need a Switch 1 or a Switch 2. So plus, again, Joy-Cons. So yeah. Anyway, what could, if anything, convince you to get a Switch 2?
At this point, I'm not sure anything that can, because
Yeah.
I'm very much a pro, be the best you can be for your consumer. And everything that I went through in the article earlier is not pro consumer. I mean, I knew they were going downhill when during that presentation they were showing off the Switch 2. They had the tech demo for how to use it, and it was a paid tech demo. You actually have to spend $10 to for them to tell you how to use the thing they just sold you for $500. And the games that were from that era, from my earlier era of gamings, they're all going multi-platform now. It's like I'm still kind of waiting for Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD Remake to come out, and it's on my Steam list. And if I don't buy it on Steam, I can buy it on my Xbox. I did buy the Final Fantasy 1 on Steam, played it, loved it. Anything that I liked that was Nintendo exclusive wasn't Nintendo first party.
Again, I'm just trying to think when last time I even used my Switch. Because if you remember, what's maybe not 6 months ago, I can't remember when it was, I was trying to sell it. And even though I'm kind of against selling hardware because you never know when you'll need it or want it again, that was just the one that kind of stood out to me. So plus, I was trying to maybe trade it for a PSVR 2, which I know I would use more. So, because other than, again, you got Mario, you got Zelda, the only other franchise I really kind of got gripped into was when I played Metroid Dread, and I was genuinely quite impressed with that game. But I'm not gonna, be sticking around with a company just for kind of one IP. So, yeah, nothing can convince either of us really at the moment. I suppose that's the answer. And then Zach with a K says, always a lot of chat about video game to TV film adaptions, but what about the other way around? I know this used to be more of a thing in 90s and 2000s. So you're talking about obviously video games, sorry, TV and films to video game adaptations, I think is what you're getting at here. Yeah, we used to do that a lot in the 90s. Obviously there's all those Disney era games, those Pixar era games, which some of them were pretty good, like the Toy Story 2 one. That was pretty good. It did end up as a situation of, okay, you watch the film and then you play the fully licensed game for it. Like you can play the movie, like with the Harry Potter games and stuff like that. We've had a little bit of an increase in that in the last couple of years. Like you had some of the Walking Dead games come out, and again, you could argue that that's comic to video game, but let's not be silly. And you had, I know you had some, obviously, some bad ones like Gollum and things like that. And then there was what, the RoboCop game. Was there a Terminator game in the last couple of years? I think there might have been.
Yeah, no, there was a RoboCop one that went viral for a hot minute.
Yeah, there was that one. I thought there was maybe a Terminator one, but I might be thinking of something else. And those have kind of crept up a little bit more, but that's also slowed down now slightly as well. I don't think you'll see that kick off again in the same way. You might get the odd releases here and there. Although when you look at something like a Gollum game, that's not kind of the same thing as the Lord of the Rings license games, which is okay. Let's have the V FMV, sorry, is the words I'm looking for, FMV cutscenes, like from the film cutscenes, and then splice it in with sort of collectible gameplay. I don't think you'll see that era really return. There's maybe a few different ones that you could do out there. So, but now, at the moment, it's more kind of the TV and film industry looking towards video games for different adaptions. And yeah, in the last, at least last couple of years, things have been much, much better. We've had Fallout, we've had Sonic, Mario, Last of Us, Twisted Metal as well, which, out of all those I just mentioned, Twisted Metal should have been the worst one technically, because it didn't have any material to kind of go off of. It had to kind of basically create all of that from scratch, so you'd almost want to give that more credit. But apart from things like things that haven't been as great, so like the Uncharted adaptation, and I haven't seen Until Dawn personally, so I don't know fully what that's like. There's been a couple of misses in that field, but we've definitely had more hits than misses in the last couple of years. What do you think of the adaption field at the moment?
Yeah, I do remember that era. It was basically the arcade era from the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
To where a movie would get popular and they make a video game out of it. I remember there was a shooting game for Terminator 2, and it was only notable because it had Aerosmith doing the soundtrack, which they did the soundtrack for the movie, and then they did the soundtrack for the video game, and rescuing them was part of the video game. Yeah. Speaking of Fallout, Season 2 teaser trailer got dropped the other day. Not a whole lot into it. It's mostly just Walter Goggins pitching products for, you know, all the megacorps. The only thing that really came out of it is they basically did confirm that Season 2 is going to heavily involve New Vegas and the Lucky 38 Casino, which is where the character, for the RobTech, the robot technology company, he was a major player in the video game, and he was in human form in the first series, and he's basically uploaded his brain to a computer in the video game. So they haven't confirmed that character in the show, but if you're going to Vegas and you're going to the 38 Casino, you're going to see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Did it have any year on that? Because I haven't seen that, so.
No, basically what it was is him making fun of, like, sponsorships, to where he's walking across a set and somebody comes up and hands him a product and he has to shoot a commercial for it. And then he's walking along the set bitching about having to do commercials, and somebody else comes up with another product and he has to do a commercial for that. And so on and so forth. And then it ends with him in modern day ghoul form with Lucy just looking at each other and then walking off towards New Vegas.
Cool. Nice. I heard there was a new Superman trailer as well today, but I haven't seen that.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Okay. I heard that was knocking about today, but haven't seen
that. Also, either, for some reason, they're doing a sequel to that Bob Odenkirk movie, Nobody.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I never actually saw the first one. So
basically, yeah, it's a Wish.com or Temu version of John Wick. You know, he's a retired military guy, you know, badass of the badasses, and then he voluntarily gets unretired through a series of weird events.
Okay, okay. I mean, he was excellent as Soul, Jimmy, Gene, whatever word you want to, whatever name you want to pick from in Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. So that's one that sort of just like floated around on my list, but I've just never seeked it out and pressed play. So I would guess your favorite video game adaptation so far is probably Fallout.
Video game to movie, yeah. And I mentioned this on a couple other podcasts. The only other one that I really liked, well, obviously Sonic, you got to throw that one in there because that was a good one. But they did, back in the early 90s, they did a movie based off the video game Double Dragon. And the only reason why I liked it is because in no way, shape, or form did anybody take anything seriously. Like, you're cracking jokes. I think my favorite scene was, because the way it's set up is that it's post-apocalyptic, but all the gangs are themed. And there's a gang called Postmen, and it's everybody dressed up like a postman. And then there's this long, drawn-out fight scene between various gangs, and at one point, the two main characters are standing in front of a water tower, and they hear something, they look straight up, and there's a guy that's a postman that does, off the top rope, and shouts special delivery, and they just look at each other, and they both take a step back out of frame. Postman goes splat, they don't show it, but you hear the wet, meaty thud, and they come back into frame, and one of them looks at the other and says, "I've never seen a postman move that fast." That's the
Right.
level of seriousness that they take the whole movie, and it works.
Cool. Nice. I've been kind of impressed with Sonic, just the because first of all, obviously, the decision to listen to the fans and redesign Sonic was one of the best decisions they made. But also how the sequels have just built off of each other. I'm actually quite impressed by how they've done that. So
I
that's been
still
really,
need to
really
see
good.
the third one. I haven't gotten around to doing that yet.
Okay. Yeah. It is the same building off of two, setting up for four if they do a fourth one. So very, very good. All right, that's what we've got for you for this week's gaming talk. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week to see what happens in the world of video games and whatnot. Probably we'll still be playing 7 Rebirth. How about yourself?
I'll probably still be playing Expedition 33.
Yeah, both long games, so we'll probably be doing this for a while. And then whatever else we decide to play in the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. In the immediate future, we've got, of course, The Last of Us, the 205 spoiler review for Wednesday, so check that out. That is indeed tomorrow, isn't it? Yes, Wednesday tomorrow, so look out for that. And then hopefully some film reviews over the weekend. Still got Sinners and Thunderbolts, Asterix, to go and see, and then Last of Us again on Sunday, and then yeah, Cup Final Wednesday, Gaming Talk next week, and we'll do this all over again. Anyway, you can support the content that we do either by obviously listening to more of it on the podcast platforms or on the site. You can, of course, tell other people word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions something we podcast on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio is indeed out. You can go from here to there and get your latest TV and film news on Geek Town Radio. You can also keep your eyes out on geektown.co.uk. Lots of renewals and cancellations stuff, so see if your favorite show is okay and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, check out Geek Town by David and Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays. We're also on YouTube, where we post random stuff, or just clips, or just some streams and other parts on YouTube. That's Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Until we meet again!
Goodbye.